Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Oh yeah, he's back. The crack of the bat, the ping of the crossbar, and the roar of the crowd. We cover everything you want to talk about. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, Canada. Canadian sports fans around the world, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show, hour one of our program, episode number 128, Canada's only morning sports talk show. How you doing, Dupes?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
That's good. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm the host, as you know. We're a pair, a successful pair.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the Hamburglar. You're Grimace.
Grimace. Good.
You were waiting to hear which
waiting.
One.
Yeah,
which
I didn't one. Know which one you were.
The Hamburglar and Grimace. And all of a sudden, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Rollout, everybody, presented by Flooring Superstore and our good friends over there, the Dickens. We've had an evolving show today. We are now, what, 10 days into the CFL offseason? We'll be talking some football, of course. I see the Missouri family is tuned in from Smyrna Beach, Florida. Their son is a coach of the Rough Riders. I know everybody wants the latest on the CFL, and we will get to that. BC Lions have a new head coach, by the way. His name's Rick Campbell. You all know him. Former CFL Coach of the Year and Grey Cup champion. Our director of scouting, Craig Smith, will be in the bunker today. Hello, Smitty.
Hello.
He's on the sponsor's couch. And we brought him out of the bullpen, and I appreciate him doing that because Jared Dumba was going to be with us, 10-year hockey pro, Blades and Hounds alum, and then he bailed a couple of hours before the show.
Yeah.
And that was a little upsetting because people were writing us over the last 24 hours going, Tuesday's your hockey day, right? That's the day Jared Dumba's on. And we're like, well, it can still be our hockey day, but Jared's not going to be here today. And that's unfortunate. So looking at our board, it's still a hockey day. We got the Grim Reaper on, Stu Grimson. We've got Alan May. Alan May, NHL great, will join us, Washington Capitals analyst from the Regina Leader Post, Austin Davis. And I'm actually very much looking forward to that interview.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going to say, why are you saying actually looking forward to it? It's because you don't all know Austin. You know his dad, Daryl Davis. You know his dad, but you don't all know Austin Davis. And he pretty much runs everything digital with the Leader Post. So I want to talk with him about sports media now. We'll talk a little bit about the green and white and CFL. And we'll talk about the Me Too movement in sports. So let's get into it. Okay?
Yeah.
Before we go down the list. Well, here's my thing. We're going to talk about the Swift Current Broncos firing their trainer yesterday, Jamie LeBlanc. We're going to talk about Mark Crawford and how Sean Avery changed his tune on Mark Crawford. Was that just this morning?
It was yesterday. Not that long. Late yesterday.
Within the last 24 hours.
Within the last 24
hours. Sean Avery's completely changed his tune and said he deserved to be kicked in the ass by Mark Crawford. You showed me the video.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's a little late, Sean.
Yeah.
Crow's now on leave of absence while they investigate this, and now you're saying you were misunderstood and you deserved it? I've never met Sean Avery. Anybody who has said this is not a guy that should be listened to. I'm sorry to jump all over because I know you wanted to keep jumping in here, but I mentioned Rick Campbell hired as coach of the BC Lions. Dave Naylor came on here yesterday and said that everybody knew 28 days ago when Campbell resigned in Ottawa that he was going to be the head coach in BC. Clearly, that would lead to tampering, which, by the way, I have no problem with at all. I don't. But do you? That's my question to the viewers later on. And then World Junior Hockey Championship invites, Canada's roster invite came out yesterday. No Kirby Dach, as you pointed out, and no Nolan Meyer of the Saskatoon Blades. I know you have thoughts on that. So just to the Swift Current Broncos firing their trainer, Jamie LeBlanc, I don't have the statement up in front of me, and I don't even want to read it because, frankly, I find the statement disturbing. I'm standing up for Butter. That's his nickname. I've known him nearly 20 years. Any statement I make is not anti-Swift Current Broncos. It's not anti-Dean Brockman nor Trent McCleary, their president. It's pro-Butter because I've known the guy for almost 20 years. And the statements were along the lines of a pattern of demeaning, derogatory remarks, something like that, conduct
Detrimental to
detrimental to the Swift Current Broncos. And that's, to me, that's just wrong. And the reason that I'm pro butter is through my life in the last 20 years, all the ups and downs, which you've all seen, had a front row seat for, professionally and personally, Butter's had my back. Even through that stuff with the Swift Current Broncos, when I needed a police escort to get into that town, mm-hmm. in and out, Butter had my back because he got me. So to see what's going on with Butter right now is wrong. And the way he's been portrayed, if you want to fire somebody, fire somebody. You don't need to have a public hanging, which is what they've done with the poor kid, which he's not a kid. But to make the statement that we talked about and then have CBC latch onto it in Sportsnet and have Bob McKenzie say this is a day of reckoning, you don't even know him. How can you pass judgment on the guy if you've never even heard his name until yesterday? So, Jamie, I did talk to him last night. He said he's getting his ducks in a row, and once he does, he'll reach out, and we'll talk a little more. The guy that I feel the sorriest for is Trent McCleary, because he's caught in the middle. He's the president of the Swift Current Broncos, and he supports his team, and he loves anybody that knows Butter loves him, but he had to pick a side, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it was the trainer that went down. And Dean Brockman, when I said this is not anti-Dean Brockman, the coach and GM, when Dean got fired as coach of the Blades, I called him, and we talked. He said that he was glad that I did. When my dad died, Dean called me and we talked. And I'm glad he called me. When he took the Swift Current Bronco job and had to turn down the Humboldt Bronco job, he explained to me why. Like, we're good friends too. And I think you said it best when we were on the couch in the pregame, pre-show meeting here. You said, we love hockey people. They're all hockey people. This is an incredibly unfortunate incident.
It is.
But I'll just sum it up by saying, if you want to fire somebody, fire somebody. Jobs come and go. But to hang him publicly like this, I feel is wrong.
Yeah, it's really tough. And that is exactly what I said. I mean, we love hockey people. We do. They're great people. They don't always get along with each other. And there's different sides all the time, but they're all hockey people, and we like them. And of course, it's such an interesting situation because you talk about, you know, why do we have to have a public hanging and this big circumstance for firing somebody? And that's the nature of the business we're in. But I can't remember the last time that a trainer being fired. They get let go and move up and down all the time. And there's no press releases for it. It's not a coach. It's not a key player. And I'm not diminishing his role in the organization, but it feels like it was sent out as a news release, almost to say, look, we're taking care of our closet, cleaning our closet too, and we want everybody to know it. And I don't know. I think, you know, in that situation, a guy who's been around the organization for so long, if you don't like what he's been saying or some of the things he's done or whatever, and it might come back, I don't know what's going on exactly, but you can let go of them without making it a big public statement and at least give him that opportunity to kind of go about it, you know, in a quiet way.
That's between them.
Yeah.
But to issue the statement and make it national news, now it's everybody's news.
Because it's not national news that, oh, now they've got an opening for a trainer.
It is now.
But, you know, it's different than a coach. Of course you would announce that a coach has been fired because now you've got an opening. That's a big, it's your figurehead of your organization.
Just a couple of years ago, they named a street after him outside the rink, and I was just informed this morning they've taken the street sign down. So how do you think that feels?
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm all for bullies getting their due, serial harassers getting their due. I'm okay with that. Harvey Weinstein needed to go down and people like him. That was a good movement. Butter is not the bully that people think that he's part of this movement. And that's the problem that I have. The guy's struggling. Well, actually, he seemed okay when I talked to him last night. But how would it feel? Mm-hmm. To have this, to be vilified in this way, you know? So, and I've kind of had it to hear with good guys taking the fall for the wrong reason. Tyler, by the way, our business development officer, what's his title? Something like that?
Sure.
Sales manager. Hi, Tyler. He says, morning, boys, watching with our friends at Anchor Managed Solutions in Saskatoon. So hello to everybody at Anchored Managed Solutions in Saskatoon. Boy, we're spending a lot of time in Saskatoon, aren't we?
We love Saskatoon.
Oh, and by the way, here's the other thing, because we'll move on and bring Smitty in here in segment two here on the rollout for Flooring Superstore. But this morning in the gym, an ex-rider, probably he doesn't want to be named, but he said to me, Where does this end? He said, if every coach who said something to me and it hurt my feelings got fired, we'd have no coaches left. And Clark said it in our morning meeting, when does this filter from hockey over to football and any other sports?
Yeah.
How far does it go?
Yeah.
Because we're just scratching the surface on hockey. We haven't even got into the other sports
yet. It's just getting started. And I'm with you. I mean, I'm all for bullies and bad people being out of any position that they shouldn't be in. I completely, 100%. But I've said this 1,000 times. You know, we all have made mistakes of some capacity and some level in our past. And we should be allowed to grow and change. And if we can't show that we've changed, then we deserve what's coming. But we need to give people the opportunity to grow and change. We live in a different world than we did 10 years ago. So all those actions may be right, may be wrong, but nobody brought it up at the time. And for whatever reason, you didn't. And that's fine. But if those people have changed, then we need to show that they've grown, give them that opportunity. I think that's so important. But it's also a different world too, because we sit here in our own professions and be like, geez, if that guy did that to my kids in their job, I would ask them to leave or they should be fired. And, you know, but we're not in the same profession. They're getting paid millions of dollars to play in these sports. If they're going to live extraordinary lives, they're going to deal with extraordinary things and have extraordinary circumstances. It's just simply the way it is. It's like my brother works in the mine every day, goes every day. We don't have to go and work in bad environments and polluted air and all that kind of stuff. If we did, if this was all smoky and dusty, we'd demand for a change and our environment's not right. But guess what? He gets danger pay. And so he gets compensated for going in and dealing with that tough circumstance. So unless you've been in that locker room and you know what it's, you know, you've gone through, it's hard to be on
just
the other
some
side.
Comments here. Devin Allen writes in and he says, great to hear someone's perspective that has actually talked to Butter and knows who he is. By the way, Butter's not talking per se. Just to recap what he said to me last night as he's getting his ducks in a row and he'll have something, you know, we'll talk later down the line. That's it. Because I don't believe he's allowed to say anything. Well, probably advised by his own legal counsel, but this is not anti-Swiftcurrent Broncos. This is not anti-Trent McCleary nor Dean Brockman. This is pro Jamie LeBlanc because he deserves better than the way he's being portrayed publicly. Mark Rathwell writing in, he says, a little coffee break check-in from the Cancer Foundation of Saskatchewan. Hello, Mark. Hopefully that you can stick with us for a whole 2-hour coffee break because that's what we do over here. I think that's all that I had. We'll bring Smitty in, our director of scouting, but I it keeps echoing in my ears what that former Rough Rider said this morning. If every coach that said something to me that hurt my feelings got fired,
yeah,
there'd be no coaches left. I mean, we're talking about language here, not abusive coaches.
I got no time for the physical abuse.
No.
None.
No.
And the mental abuse and the verbal abuse, it's all a matter of perspective, too. You know, one thing I say could be very abusive, and other ways it might not be, but that's a big gray area. It's just it's such a confusing time.
Well, as you point out, physical abuse, emotional abuse, verbal abuse, who says how much is right? What kind is right? I mean, I get all of that. But yeah, we'll bring in Smitty and get to some actual football talk. But that was something that I wanted to get off my chest here this morning in the rollout for Flooring Superstar. We got a lot of things to get to today, including Stu Grimson, Alan May, Austin Davis. Our director of scouting, Craig Smith, joins us next. Plus a sports update coming up. It is the Rod Peterson Show, episode number 28 on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Every sale held in 2019 has led up to our biggest event of the year. Ring in the savings with year-end clear out at Capital Ford Lincoln. We're making a list and checking it twice of the biggest savings on brand new vehicles this holiday season. Get into a brand new 2019 4x4 F-150 for as low as $33,495 plus tax. And brand new 2019 Ford Escapes are starting at just $23,999 plus tax. It's the most wonderful time of the year at Saskatchewan's largest Ford store, Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop staffed by PGA of Canada professionals is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Alan Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. This guy, Ken Fallman, one of our viewers, is very concerned. He thinks my desk is on fire. Can we call the fire department?
I laid each one of those bricks by hand last night. I assure you, they're up to code. The desk will not light on fire.
Okay. We really got him going today. We really got him going on the Me Too movement in hockey. Our director of scouting, Craig Smith, will join us here right after this sports update. Russell Wilson hit David Moore for a 60-yard touchdown pass, and the Seattle Seahawks built a big second-half lead before holding off the Minnesota Vikings 37-30 on Monday Night Football. Seattle at 10-2, moved into a tie with San Francisco atop the NFC West, but holds the tiebreaker with the 49ers. Derek Grant scored two goals, Ryan Miller made 34 saves, and the Anaheim Ducks beat the LA Kings 4-2 in the first freeway face-off rivalry game of the year. The Kings are mired in last place in the Pacific for a second consecutive season. Jake Allen made 38 saves. Saskatoon's Braden Schenn scored his team-leading 14th goal, and the St. Louis Blues beat the shorthanded Chicago Blackhawks 4-0 for their fourth straight win. The last-place Blackhawks played a man short because of injuries and the salary cap. How about that? So they really do need Kirby Doc up there. Washington Nationals first baseman Ryan Zimmerman figures he'll either find himself back with the World Series champions next year or out of baseball altogether. The club declined its $18 million U.S. option for next season on Zimmerman, who received a $2 million buyout and became a free agent. That's your Tuesday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. Did you know on Thursdays for $10 you get a free play all day? For $10 what? On Thursdays.
Wow.
Yeah. We were there for lunch yesterday. So a lot of things to get to today. All kinds of comments coming in on the Facebook wall. We welcome our director of scouting, two-time Grey Cup champion, Craig Smith. How you doing, Smitty?
Good.
You were at Wendell Clark's on the weekend, Rod Peterson Show sponsor.
Yeah.
How was it, my friend?
It was excellent. You know, what's funny, I had a burger. I'm a big burger guy, and it's probably going to put me in the grave early, but I had the burger, and it reminded me of when my mom used to take me back in, when I was a kid, like real young. This corner restaurant, his name was Johnny's, and it reminded me of that, and holy cow, that's pretty good.
Was it the Wendell burger?
No, it was just a regular burger, and I can't remember what they call it, but they toasted the bun, and it was just so good, and we had some cheesecake after that, and of course I had poutine. I had just an unbelievably healthy meal there.
and I can tell, you look very healthy.
Oh, hey.
And you had good news with your results for your cancer scan.
It's what happens is you go there and you get the blood work, and they check the blood and everything, so it was good. So that was
awesome.
A great thing. Yeah, excellent.
Good to know. Well, they tell me that the Wendell Burger and the fish and chips are the top two sellers at Wendell Clark's in Saskatoon. Just saying. Yeah. I so can't wait. I can't wait for the home opener for the Rush, December 14th against the New England Black Wolves. I am officially, as of this morning, a Rush season ticket holder.
Nice.
Platinum seats. That's two jerseys that I get for being a season ticket holder. Can't wait.
Kathy had the tacos. And she
fish
said,
tacos?
No.
Chicken tacos?
Chicken tacos.
Right.
She said they were excellent. So, great place. And the other thing is go there on a Sunday and take a peek at all the TV screens, and they're all beautifully high definition. It's just fantastic. Your head be on a swivel. You'll be like a linebacker out there.
Well, Wendell's not going to put his name on any Rudy Poo joint.
No.
Right? Yeah. It's fitting of his name.
What a wrist shot he had, hey? Wasn't it unreal?
Snapshot. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. From the Prairie Mobile text line, you can write us every day at 306-840-8777. That's 840-8777. Families trust Prairie Mobile. That's where we get our phones from. Few messages here. One from Levi. He says, some number 28s for the show. Today is episode number 128. He says, Marshall Faulk and Buster Posey. There's some good ones there.
Yeah.
I'll write those. There was only one number 28 that came to mind to me when I was getting my show ready, and that was one, Kenton Keith.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm. What? Am I Adrian Peterson?
AP?
Mm-hmm. He's 28,
okay,
right?
That's another one. Mm-hmm. Levi goes on to say, and he's texting from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. In your opinion, Rod, who should be the top five Rough Rider free agents that should be signed? I heard on your show yesterday that Hughes signed, but it's not announced on the Riders' website or on the CFL free agent list. Was he a free agent or still under contract and just extended? Go Riders, Levi Tate in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. So there's a Rider fan in North Carolina writing in. And so I'd received word late last week that Charleston had signed an extension with the club, went to the CFL free agent list that came out on Thursday. His name wasn't on it. Went back to the 3downnation.com list that was posted 3 weeks ago, a month ago, and Charleston's name was on it. So all I can guess is between that time and last week, Charleston signed his extension and the team hasn't announced it yet. Does that answer your question, Levi? Top five. I guess I could get the list in front of me if I wanted to. Are we going to go down that road?
We could.
Let's do the top number one free agent for the Riders to sign. And I would say it was, there's a lot of them. You want them all, right, Smitty? You've been part of roster construction as the director of scouting of CFL teams. If you've got 27 players going to free agency,
there's obviously
from a good team, wouldn't you ideally want them all?
Well, you would. Maybe. You know, you might not want some guys back, but, you know, it depends on how they are in the room. There's definitely a hierarchy, and you'll go after the first ones, and then keep them going down the road, you know. I remember when we were in B.C., you know, there was a hierarchy, and then there was a fellow that we didn't sign. Then at the end of everything, there was a little more money left for this one guy. I don't want to name names, but guess what? He went and signed in Toronto. And he said, well, how come, you know, you didn't offer me that before? He said, well, it's just the process. And that's what happens, right? And especially with the way the cap is, you have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you do. You really got to be careful about how much money you spend and who you spend it on.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, and that's tough because you're trying to lock down, you know, I think of the Rider situation, and I don't know exactly how this went down, but if, you know, if they were as into Bo Levi Mitchell as maybe some people think, and, you know, offering $700,000 or $800,000 or whatever the number was, you're not offering that to Willie Jefferson. And so you're waiting because you're like, I can't afford both these guys. We're going to go after the quarterback.
Right.
And then by the time the quarterback falls through, it's like, okay, Willie, I got some money for, you already signed?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
Right? And it's not that we didn't want you, but it's that we made a choice. You got to make choices.
Well, and the other thing here, so I found the list. This is the 3downnation.com list. I have it written in my notes. It's Tuesday, November 19th, not that long ago. Charleston Hughes is on this list of pending Rider free agents, along with Micah Johnson, A.C. Leonard, Chad Jeter, LeVar Edwards, Mac Henry, who's signed, Jordan Reeves. So there's that. Receivers, Emmanuel Arsenault, Shaq Evans, Naaman Roosevelt, Corey Watson. They all filled very key roles.
Absolutely.
Running back, Marcus Thigpen, Keenan LaFrance, Albert Awachi. You know.
Did Powell sign for two?
Well, he's not eligible. Yeah, it was a multi-year deal.
Yeah.
At least two.
Yeah.
On the O-line, All-Star Dan Clark, Phillip Blake, Dariush Bladick, Tecobi Cofield, Thad Coleman. At linebacker, Solomon Elamimian, Cameron Judge, Derek Moncrief, Alex Gagne, Dyshon Davis, Brandon Bartlett. In the secondary, Eli Bauka, Ed Gainey, Nick Marshall, Purifoy, who they've signed, Denzel Radford, and specialists Jorgen Hughes and John Ryan. And the one thing maybe people should know, Smitty, because you've been in those meetings, because I saw you in there, is they all want a raise.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Like, even me.
Right. Everybody wants a raise.
We all want a raise. And you know, there's only so much pie. And it, you know, it's a difficult thing. It's tough. It's tough to be a GM because you have certain slots. Okay, for this I want to pay this. For this I want to pay that. And you try to slot it in there, but that list that you just read, there's just a ton of good players there, and they need to hack away and get some of those guys signed.
Well, and everybody's so close to the cap that for every raise you give, you have to have somebody come in that much cheaper, right? So you have to have that turnover.
And then everybody's in the same situation. Everybody's got 20 to 30 free agents. Now, are you once you get all your guys signed, and then there's certain guys that aren't going to sign, they're going to wait to free agency. Well, as soon as free agency pops up, now there's guys that you want to go after to get your team better. And that can happen, like a team like Ottawa. Ottawa's going to want to, you know, and I always say that even if you're a bad team, things can change and you could be a good team real quick. And that can happen. Big thing in Saskatchewan, they have a quarterback. That is so critical. And that's where to start. Now, how do you protect your quarterback? Well, what do you got to do? You got to make sure that offensive line is back and signed, and then, you know, keep on going after that. I keep on saying it's one at the trenches. It starts there. So you got to get those solidified.
Well, I'm not worried about the Rough Riders. And Don Hewitt sat in that chair yesterday from CTV and said, the good days are here again. Rider pride has returned. Mm-hmm. And I'm with him. They got the coach. They got the quarterback. They got the GM. And everything else filters off that. Mm-hmm. They're in good shape. Are we ready to go to Alan May? They tell me he's fixing his hair right now. Alan May, Washington Capitals NHL analyst. Hockey talker, as it says. Esteban Bruins alum, Alan May. So please let me know when Alan May is ready. This guy... Now they tell me, I'm just going to go through where he's played. This is like a Hank Snow song. Are you ready? Boston, Edmonton, Washington, Dallas, Calgary, Springfield, Nova Scotia, Maine, Cape Breton, New Haven, Orlando, Detroit, Utah, Houston, Carolina, Abilene.
That's a Johnny Cash song.
There he is, Alan May. Good morning. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show, sir.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Pleased to have you, Alan. And listen, before we go any further... You are an absolute legend in Estevan. They still talk about you down there. Most years I emcee the Bruins dinner, but the one year I didn't, you were there. Why is it that you love Estevan so much and they love you?
Well, they fattened me up. I was too small to get drafted. I was too short. I didn't weigh enough. And I lived with a really good family, the Pearson family. Bert, Melody, Brad, and Jeff. And
still billeting, yep.
Three square meals a day. I still... vacation with children every summer, but you know what, I grew up a lot there. The people had great values, as they do throughout Saskatchewan and Alberta. I'm an Alberta boy, but I just think all the lessons along the way, and then, you know, being such a runt, I was able to play the game in a town and develop. And you know what, everyone's always treated me incredibly well there. Everyone, when I go back, it's overwhelming how kind the people are. It's a simple life. But the older I get, the more I appreciate simple, and I try to simplify my life to make it a better life.
Well, if nothing else, we're simple up here. There's no doubt, and I know what you mean. That's a compliment, and I'll say it again. The Pearsons are still billeting Bruins. It's a great family. Alan, I'm sure because you're immersed in the hockey world, the talk of what we're calling the Me Too movement here in Canada, and now Mark Crawford is under the spotlight, Babs, Bill Peters. What is your take on where we're at right now and what's going on?
Well, I think there's a lot of knee-jerk reactions, as the hockey world is prone to do. One bad thing happens, and all of a sudden, everyone's guilty or everything. If it's an equipment violation or someone gets hurt in the game, all of a sudden, all the equipment's got to be changed. One person gets hurt on an icing call, all of a sudden... you know, you've got to change the icings. I think right now, some coaches have obviously crossed the line, not just in hockey, but in every sport. So have school teachers and different people in different walks of life. And right now, everyone jumping on this. And I really look back at, you know, like Mike Babcock, big deal what he did to Mitch Marner. Mitch Marner is a pretty good hockey player. Coaches have their different ways of motivating guys. But there are coaches that have crossed the line. I think while Saskatchewan, we've seen the worst of the abuse, and that would be sexual. But, you know, you've had the odd incidents where, you know, coaches, players, you know, I want to know what the kicking is. I want to know what the punching is. Is it a push in the back? Is it a kick in the shin pad? Like it, and you know, you can't, just one blanket shouldn't fit all over everybody. It's making the entire hockey world look bad. A couple of coaches, I know Mike Babcock, I've heard stories that he was hard on his players for years, but that's how hockey was. That, and he's an old school guy. He's still coaching that way. And I've had some guys that were old school, but I look back and I'm not going to start throwing knives at them now. People spoke a different way back when I played. They, you know, whether it was midget hockey, junior hockey, the minor leagues, or the NHL, there was a different way of people communicating, just as there were in schools and society in general. And the evolution of the game, the evolution of coaching, of society, a lot of things are wrong now that used to be fine. And so I think there's a lot of backlash, and I think the piling on certain areas is wrong. But I think every person who had a coach that yelled at them, or a teacher, or someone, that's putting everyone in the same boat. It's like every time you had a difficult conversation with a police officer that pulled you over for going 40 kilometers over the speed limit, you weren't too upset with them. You were actually really upset with them. But you know what? They're doing their jobs to the best of their ability. So I'm a little bit all over the place with this, but I think there's a lot of attacks that people are making way worse than they really are.
I would say well said. We got a question for you from Craig Smith, our director of scouting, two-time Grey Cup champion. Go ahead, Smitty.
Hey, I'm a football guy, but obviously I love hockey. I played in the outdoor rinks when I was a kid, me being Canadian. I am so looking forward, and I'm really fast-forwarding here. There's a lot of things that got to happen, staying healthy, avoiding upsets, but I'm looking forward to the Eastern Conference Final, Boston Bruins and Washington Capitals.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
What do you all have to do?
This isn't the NBA. Isn't the NBA, so that's not a guarantee. As we saw
absolutely.
Last year,
every one of the
division leaders got punked in the first round.
Yeah.
The Caps got punked from being stubborn and old system and tired, very fatigued, I thought. But when you look at, you know, what you have to do, everything's got to go right. Everything has to go the right way to make sure that you win. You need to be healthy. You have to have the right coaching staff, the right roster. But if they do play, the Capitals have owned the Boston Bruins for about five seasons now. They went 14 games straight before they had lost a game to the Bruins. And the Bruins finally changed the way they played against the Capitals the last game of last season that they went head-to-head. And they found a way to win. But I don't understand why they didn't do it the first time when Washington went in there about three Saturdays ago. It was back to trying to run and gun with the Caps. If you want to run and gun with them, I think they're going to hurt you. If you want to sit back and play defensive like the New York Islanders and you've got the skill of the Boston Bruins, you have a pretty good chance of holding your own and getting to a seventh game. And then it's an overtime goal and a lucky bounce that'll win that series. But at the same time, worst sport to gamble on. I'm not a gambler, but it's the worst sport to gamble on. It's not the NBA where it's a guarantee of two teams pretty much are going to be in the finals. So if that does happen, it'll be exciting. I love watching David Pastrnak. I'm one of the few people in Washington that loves watching Brad Marchand because of the way he plays. But I kind of love that. I love that he's involved in every game. I think everything he does, how he gets mad after games with the press, the stuff he does on the ice that's not related to scoring goals or getting assists. I like all of it. I love that he's fully involved 24 hours a day, and he sounds like one of the greatest guys in the world to his teammates and the guys that grew up with him in Nova Scotia. Sidney Crosby, whenever I hear him on a podcast or radio interview and he talks about Marshy, I think it's just hilarious, and I'd love to crack open a few beers with that guy.
I'm actually glad you said that because I did an event with Matthew Barnaby last month in Arcola, and I asked him his thoughts on Marchand, and he goes, he's everything I aspired to be. He goes, I was a pest, but I wasn't talented. He goes, Marshy has the talent to go along with being a pest. There's not a lot of those guys, Alan, in NHL history.
No, there's not. There's very, very few. You know, one of the greatest pests ever, I guess, would be the Rat, Ken Linsman, a long time ago in the 70s and 80s. I played with him briefly, and one of the greatest guys you could ever be around, an incredible teammate, but a competitor through and through. And he was trying to get the edge in any way that he could. Did he cross the line nowadays that, you know, they'd be wanting to throw him in prison for, you know, 15 to 20 years and there'd be no early parole on that. But you look at Marchand, and Matt Barnaby did a great job of what he did, because he wasn't the biggest guy in the world. He had a puny head way back then, and you know, he just drove guys crazy, but it was a lot of talk. But he would drop the gloves and go toe-to-toe. Now he'd be a villain, and you know, he'd be the most hated guy in the National Hockey League the way he went about his thing. He talked a lot. He got under your skin. But like every guy that's played that role in the National Hockey League, Brad Marchand may be the best ever to play the game that way, driving people crazy every single night and then delivering, you know, knockout blows, overtime goals, game-winning goals, the big hit. You know, someone took a shot at him from Montreal about 2 months ago, and he ducked under the guy's punch and walked onto the bench. The guy's absolutely hilarious to me.
Last question for you, Alan May. It's our daily Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll question. It is, are the Edmonton Oilers a Stanley Cup contender? Right now, 51% say no, they're not. They're leading the division, as you know. 22% say yes. 27% say not sure. How would you answer? Could the Oilers win the Cup this year?
First of all, bravo on that read just going into it. And you weren't reading. It was memorized. That was a mouthful. Okay. You didn't even take a deep breath. Now, the Edmonton Oilers, I'm an Edmonton kid, and I've always, always cheered for the Oilers. And it was painful for me to watch these bad teams the past few years and the bad coaching that they had for about 5 years in a row. And I look at what Dave Tippett has done, all-out buy-in. We had that here in D.C. with Barry Trotz. You've got studs, you know, that have Ovechkin and Backstrom here. They brought in other guys. But right now in Edmonton, they've got McDavid and Draisaitl just killing it, and they're on every night. But if one of those guys goes down, they're in a boatload of trouble. But one of the players that's not getting his due, I think, is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who's kind of been Mr. Everything for them and had to deal with so many coaching styles, so many management regimes, and he's holding his own very well. I think a little more depth, they may be able to make trades how they see fit coming at the deadline or close to the deadline, but they're a really good hockey team, in my opinion, because they're playing the same way every night. They are counting on McDavid and Draisaitl's offense. The power play is the best in the National Hockey League. I think James Neal's got 10 tucks on the power play. But what they have to do is continue to play defense, remember what your role is. Dave Tippett, an old teammate, an old coach of mine, is so good at communicating. All of this stuff that's going on right now throughout the National Hockey League, you'll never hear that about Dave Tippett, treating anyone the way they don't want to be treated, kicking, pushing, punching, whatever it is. Just a great communicator, phenomenal. And I think he could sell snows to, I don't even know what I'm allowed to say anymore,
to an Eskimo,
but the people that live up in the Arctic Circle.
I'll say it.
The people that live up in the Arctic Circle, those people, he could sell snow to them. So I got yelled at last summer when I was at home for using that word. And I grew up there. And anyways, so that team that plays in Edmonton, the same thing. He could sell snow to those guys way up north. But Tippett is a hell of a coach. Yeah. The goaltending is great, and I think when you have a really good foundation in front of you, all goaltenders would be good. I don't think any of the great goaltenders in the history of the National Hockey League would have been any good in Edmonton the last 4 or 5 years.
Wow. Yeah, no kidding. Alan, I see why you're so popular in Estevan. Great SJ alum. Good luck to the Capitals, and I hope to hear from you again here soon. Happy holidays.
Happy holiday. And Merry Christmas to you guys.
Yeah, yes. Alan May from Washington. Oh, my bad. I said happy holidays. I love it. Wow. That was fun.
That was great.
What a great guy.
I've never interviewed him before. I get it now.
Yeah.
They talk about him at Estevan, like up here.
Yeah.
And I just want, I always said, what is the connection with Alan May? And then it says right in his Twitter bio that he's Bruins alum.
Yeah.
He's on the broadcast crew there?
Yeah, Washington Capitals analyst, NBC Sports Networks. Pretty big deal.
I'm going to have to check that out because I can get the Caps broadcast. Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
You know, when we come back, I want to get into the CFL stuff, as do you, right, Smitty?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we got a lot to get to. So hang on, everybody. It's coming up next. It's the Rod Peterson Show, episode 28, on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Rod Peterson Show. Just checking the Prairie Mobile text line at 840-8777. 306-840-8777. Prairie Mobile, they are your SaskTel authorized dealer. Tell them I sent you. Dealerships all across the prairies. Regarding the Me Too movement going too far in hockey, anonymous texter writes in from the 515, says, "Amen, Rod. If you have not walked a mile on someone's shoes, how can you comment, especially when you do not even know the person? Things are going too far. Hashtag everyone deserves a chance." He's referring to my support of the trainer of the Swift Current Broncos who was fired yesterday, Jamie LeBlanc. It was not anti-Broncos, not anti-Dean Brockman, nor President Trent McCleary. It was pro-butter. But don't comment on a guy that you don't even know. And also to the poll, are the Edmonton Oilers Stanley Cup contenders? Because somebody wrote in here and asked that very question. From the 291, it was Brady in Saskatoon.
Yeah.
Are the Oilers a serious contender for a playoff run in the West? Did Alan May even answer that question?
Kind of went around.
He kind of went around, didn't he?
Whoa.
I think.
Whoa, he did.
He said he was smarter guy than, smarter than he looks. No, I'm joking. What a great guy. I think he said, yeah. He said he's an Oiler fan.
Yeah, he went through all of the things that they need to do to contend. He didn't say whether he believes that they're good enough to contend.
No.
I'm cheering for the Capitals because of him.
Well, here's the thing. I'll tell you what
I think. Easy guy to get behind.
About Edmonton.
Yep.
And I do think that they can contend. But you got to find some depth because McDavid and Draisaitl don't win Stanley Cups, right? I mean, those guys.
Clearly, they haven't.
Yeah, but not those guys specifically. What I mean is, how often is it your stars that are leading the way consistently night in, night out? I mean, they do, but you win Stanley Cups with Chris Drapers. You win stars with guys that fill roles and really come alive in the playoffs because you game plan so much and you shut down those stars. That's your focus. So
what are they missing?
So they need to make sure that the depth is there. And I think when he mentioned Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, that's a guy who could be an X factor in the playoffs for a run for them.
To the CFL, because we teased it. So Rick Campbell hired as the head coach of the BC Lions yesterday. And I just don't really understand a lot of things that go on with the CFL and haven't for a long time. Smitty, I think you know what I'm talking about. When Dave Naylor comes on here and says this was a fait accompli 28 days ago when Rick Campbell resigned in Ottawa. And let me say, I don't have a problem with guys getting on the phone and saying, let's work together, you know, similar to what they do in the NBA. But that's tampering if there was ever tampering.
It happened quick. That's all I'll say. It was so quick. And for that to happen so quick, you know, you kind of wonder. But, hey, you know, like you said, things happen. That happens. And you just keep on rolling. Did they get the right guy? Who knows? We'll see. We'll see in a few years. But it happened quick.
Well, in retrospect, with the Riders hiring Chris Jones and his entire staff, what necessarily is wrong with that? Because if just a head coach leaves, like, for instance, Ottawa's sitting there holding the bag, Rick Campbell's gone, and his entire staff's still sitting there.
Yeah.
So well, maybe you clean out all the cupboards, and those guys all come to Saskatchewan, then you can start over in Edmonton, which you kind of wanted to do anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a new coach is going to roll into Ottawa and want his own staff, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And it's the same thing. Like, we're sitting here talking to Nick Lewis, and, like, what's your future, Nick? I don't know. All the coaches in BC don't know. Like, they're going to have meetings and they're going to talk to Rick, and, you know, certain guys have been recommended to him for certain jobs, but they just don't know. And that's tough for them because, yeah, your head coach wants to have his own coaches in place. Yeah. And I think that's a little bit of the issue in Montreal when you've hired a head coach in Kahari Jones, but you don't have a general manager. And we saw that general manager head coaching conflict become a problem in Ottawa. Right. If you're not on the same page, finding players that fit your system and knowing what kind of team that's going to be successful, it could be an issue. So that's going to be a little bit of the dance that Montreal has to go through, too.
Marcel, he'll get it going. I know that. I worked with him, and so many people are saying, yeah, now it's up to Marcel. Marcel, let this go, let that go. I know why Marcel does stuff. He does it so he's doing things properly. He did something to get the cap. You know, and I'm sure he's thinking, yeah, you know what, I probably should have tried as best as I could to get Trevor Harris, get the quarterback, because they had quarterback problems all year. And, it, you know, people make mistakes. I think that might have been a mistake that he made. But, you know, again, those guys, their work ethic is top notch, and, you know, they're going to get it back. It's the nature of the beast as far as coaching and the whole, you know, I mean, when I signed up, I knew. You know, I mean, I've lived in Vancouver. I lived in Hamilton. I've been here now. And that's what happens. You know, you're hired to be fired, and it's going to happen. You know, and when it happened to me the first time, it was devastating. But, you know, that's just the way it is in this game of football.
Kind of get used to it.
You have to.
You do.
Yeah. You love what you do. And you know that you're, you know, okay, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be there. I know coaches that they've been all over the place. You know, Joe Pau-Pau. I mean, he's been just everywhere. And, you know, and his family is down in the San Diego area. You know, that's not easy. It's not an easy thing. But they love what they do. That's what they do. I mean, that's, you know, they're not bricklayers. They're not going to go get a plumbing job. They're coaches. And that's just that's what they do.
Well, they're not getting rich. They're getting rich with experiences and hopefully get a ring along the way.
You're exactly right.
But they're not getting rich at all. And that's why I try to reserve judgment on a lot of guys in the CFL. For instance, Marcel Desjardins. I really only say I judge people how they treat me, and Marcel has been nothing but first class to me all the time. As a matter of fact, at the CFL GM meetings, there's been times where he's pulled me aside. He's like, hey, probably telling me what he wants me to know or crafting the message, but who cares? At least he's telling me something. Yeah. I don't have a problem with Marcel. Yet Henry Burris does. Yet Trevor Harris does. Yeah. You know, it's funny with Hank, by the way, that he would be so upset at Marcel Desjardins. How would you like to be Kevin Glenn, who was selected in the expansion draft?
Yeah.
And then thrown overboard for Henry Burris back in 2014.
That was tough. I mean, that, you know.
That was an ugly situation. Hank didn't have a problem with that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and everybody loves Kevin. And when something like that happens to a good guy, that's, you know, you're outraged. You know, you're like, what the? You know, it's one of those things.
Well, it is kind of tough, though, because the GMs.
But it's football. It's football.
Yeah.
And that's the reality of the beast. It's
great game, crappy business.
Exactly.
Yeah. But they're doing it. Here's my point on Marcel. He's done everything for the franchise. He doesn't do everything for Marcel. there is a difference.
Absolutely.
Like in the case of Roy Shivers, he was trying to advance political movements. He was trying to do things that weren't necessarily about the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Yeah.
They were about Roy and his beliefs to the detriment of the team in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
Marcel Desjardins is not that guy.
Yeah.
You know, and I would say the same thing about Eric Tillman. You talk. Great example was Chris Getzlaff was a free agent after the 07 Grey Cup. He was on the practice roster. I believe I don't think he played in the 07 Grey Cup. But Tillman said to him after the 07 season, you resign here for 08 or I'm not giving you a Grey Cup ring.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of dirty, really. Yeah. But it was still what was best for the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Yeah.
That's how they do business. Is that dirty business, would you say? That's leverage?
Yeah.
Sure.
That's business.
Yeah.
But I say Marcel, again, Hank's mad at the way it ended for him, for Trevor Harris. We didn't have a problem with the way it ended for Kevin Glenn, so Henry had a spot. And in the end, Marcel's just doing this to have a winning program or to lose Trevor Harris and Greg Ellingson and Sir Vincent Rogers and these guys. It's to fit under the salary cap. Goes back to what we were saying earlier. Not everybody's going to get the money they think they're owed.
Yeah. Everybody thinks they're better than they are. I've known that since I coached Pee Wee football and went through the ranks up until the pros. Everybody thinks they're better. But everybody thinks that they should be paid more money.
Yeah, everybody does.
Yeah.
And so for Marcel, I mean, he's in a tough spot now, too, because it's time to show that his philosophy is one that's going to work.
Absolutely.
Right? And, I mean, we have no reason to believe that it won't. He's had so much success in Ottawa. And so I believe that, you know, you kind of have to trust him. But whoever they put in, you know, as their head coach, better be on the same page.
Well, I think the first thing is get a solid quarterback. You know, they have a lot of guys there that have played in a Grey Cup and won. You know, but as far as quarterback was concerned, you know, between all the guys that they had in there, they weren't doing it. So that's the first thing that he's going to, you know, he'll go after Fatty or you know, somebody else that's going to be able to go in there and be a first string quarterback, you know.
Are you surprised at the polls, our polls, that say Jeremiah Masoli is a runaway most coveted free agent quarterback in the CFL? Because for me, I guess because he's proven.
Yeah,
Arbuckle would be my guy.
Yeah, Arbuckle's up there, but Masoli's. I mean, think about it. Before he got hurt, I mean, he was hotter than heck. I mean, he was, and I'll tell you, I am surprised at that. You know, I went in and I saw him play with Edmonton against BC in the preseason a few years ago, and he was horrible. Like, I scratched my head, you know, because I seen him play at college. And there we go again. You see him in college. That doesn't mean he's going to come in and be a good pro. But, boy, he sure has developed, and he's, you know, he's one of the better ones. Big thing is how's he coming back from the knee? He should be okay. He should come back. But I think Masoli would probably be the top. But Arbuckle, I think he's – it depends on the injury. It really does.
Well, it does. And, you know, we went through an interesting year and in the CFL – the quarterback is so key, so
critical.
Important, especially with just, you know, really two downs to make things happen. And, you know, the Mike Riley thing, okay, it hasn't worked out yet, but they're still working, and Rick Campbell's going to, you know, try and correct that, and Kelly Bates in that offensive line. I'm assuming he's going to be back to run that group. But you look at what Cody Fajardo did, Dane Evans did, Arbuckle did. I wonder if you're going to see a lot of GMs thinking, wait a second, we don't need to spend all this money in a quarterback. Let's work on this youth movement and just get good guys in place and roll with a young guy, because there was so much success this year. Is that an anomaly?
Young
quarterbacks can come in and have success pretty quickly? Or is that going to be something that's going to be more of a trend in the CFL?
I've watched this game for a long time, and this has been the craziest year with guys going in second-string quarterbacks. And I've seen that where guys have gone in second-string quarterbacks and they don't see the field. Whether it's lack of experience or maybe they just will never.
All the time.
Yeah, but exactly, all the time. This year, it was just bang, bang, quarterback down. Guy goes in. He can drop back. He can look. He sees the field. He hits the windows. And it was just so exciting this year with regards to Canadian football.
Except in Toronto.
Bethel did some decent things. You know,
those 400-yard games back.
He was leading.
But guys.
No.
I love the chat.
Yeah.
back to reality.
Yeah, McLeod Bethel Thompson. Last I looked, led the league in touchdown passes.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
But I did. How many times did you see him live? I watched him in Touchdown Atlantic live. You have to be a consistent thrower.
Yep. Absolutely.
You can't have four good ones and two bad ones.
Yep.
And that's him.
Yeah.
He's not consistent enough to be a CFL pro quarterback. He's just not. I know he's a great guy. I've met him. He wouldn't be my quarterback. Let's put it that way. Oh, yeah. And clearly he's not Toronto's quarterback either. You need to be consistent throughout.
Yeah.
And I don't care about the touchdown passes. Brian Eitenauer writes in on the Facebook wall and he says, "Hey, Rod, this new director of player personnel for the Riders we hired from Calgary, was he still with Calgary or not? What does this say about Paul Jones? Any change for him, or is this just another helper? What can you tell us about this guy? Craig might know more about him." I hope you do, because I don't know anything about the guy. Is it Kyle Carson?
Kyle Carson.
I don't know anything about this guy. I believe the Riders have yet to even announce it. 3downnation.com broke the news over the weekend. Do you know anything about him? Because I couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
I've obviously met him. I've watched film with him in Cincinnati when we were down scouting the NFL in the guts of the stadium. Talked with him. Good kid. He actually called me for advice a while back, and this was before. This was when he was, you know, getting further into his career. He seems like a good kid. I have no idea, you know, his skills. I don't know if he knows football or anything. I know he's a good kid. And with regards to the Riders, Paul Jones is going to be Paul Jones. Paul Jones is going to do his job, and he's going to scour from coast to coast, primarily in the South, and he's going to be looking for players, and that's what he'll do. And then Kyle, I would imagine he'll probably be getting into some of the Canadian stuff and doing NFL and you know, things like that. So there's enough work for both those guys.
Well, what did Luke tell us at lunch yesterday at Ballers? Paul Jones has the best job in football.
He does.
Sits at home, tries out and scouts, and sends his notes up to the Riders. He used to be the Eskimos for 20 years.
Well, Eskimos, Winnipeg. I mean, he's done it. And you're right. He has had the best job. He lives not far from Mobile, Alabama, and he puts thousands and thousands of miles on the car, and he gets to see a lot of football players. And when you get to see a lot of football players, you're going to find them. The more I saw, I know that I could, you know, hey, let's get some players up. I know that I could do that. And he's been at the top of the game for many, many years. Cal Murphy just loved him. And, they've got a good one there. And we'll see what happens with regards to Cal.
And it's so different putting on the miles like you did, and clearly Paul's doing, to see players live. I mean, with all the access to television, you think you can just watch the highlights, watch the tape, watch them on TV. It's not quite the same, is it?
I am a huge proponent of going to practice, going to games to see a guy live. It's, you know, you may miss something. You will miss something if you're just watching, TV or if you're watching tape. There's, you can get a real good look. You have to have tape. There's no doubt about it, because then you get to watch it over and over again. But I love to get there. I can stand beside a guy. I can see how tall he is. I can see, you know, his frame, what type of body he has, and then it's a whole, all that goes into your report with regards to, and then you talk to the trainers, you talk to the equipment guys, if you can. Sometimes, you know, you just don't have that access, but a lot of times you do, and you get the whole ball of wax, and you put that in, and then you can make a grade, and those grades are critical.
We're out of time for hour one. I wanted to just get a summation from you, your thoughts on tampering in the CFL. We'll do that to open hour two. How's that? You cool?
Yeah.
All right. Stu Grimson and Austin Davis as well in hour two of the program. It's episode number 128 of the Rod Peterson Show, coming to you from the bunker out here in Western Canada. Canada's only morning sports talk show is right here on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Every sale held in 2019 has led up to our biggest event of the year. Ring in the savings with year-end clear out at Capital GMC. We're making a list and checking it twice of the biggest savings on pre-owned vehicles this holiday season. Check out this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 Chevy Equinox. Get it under the tree for just $25,998 plus tax. And this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 GMC Acadia is only $32,997 plus tax. Only at Canada's number one certified pre-owned dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming at the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.